Yo, all right. I'm back. I left and then I came back. But yeah, so as I was saying, man. Oh, by the way, bro, hold on. Coffee. Coffee. Oh man, okay, yeah. As I was saying, hold on, let me make sure it's recording. Yeah. So, as I was saying, I started meditating, man. And it was, at first, I started meditating for 5 minutes a day. And then after like 3 days, I did 10 minutes. And I kept doing 10 minutes. And I just kept doing 10 minutes for a long while. This was when I first started to practice self-improvement and stuff and really lock in on my goals initially for like this period of time. Like a year and something back, maybe just a year back. And back then I'd meditate just before bed. And what I realized is that right after the 10-minute meditation, right after it, you would leave and feel this, you'd feel the sense of presence and focus that just wasn't there. And instantly, you'd feel it instantly, like right after. You'd also feel this calming, mellow effect, almost like you're under the influence of like drugs or something, but very mild and for just a little while. But I'd always go to sleep, so I wouldn't be able to know the extent of which it lasted for. Another thing is it made my dreams very vivid, because I didn't know it at the time, because I wasn't doing meditation for the spiritual benefits. I was just doing meditation to lock in with work, and because I know about the physical real world advantages. And so that was the whole reason I was meditating in the first place, just for the real world stuff. And so it made me more present, and it made my dreams more vivid, because it was making me more present in my dreams. I'd wake up and be like, oh my goodness, what the hell, man, that was insane, the dream I just had. It's like I was there, like, you know, because when you're present in the moment, I don't think you understand what that is. Good stuff. Anyways, as I was saying, what was I saying? Yeah, man, this is bad. Because this night, I barely had any sleep. I had like 4 hours of sleep, so my memory's definitely shot. And I woke up with like this weird thing on my lips. But anyways, it made me more present in the moment, this meditation thing. It was very powerful. And by making someone present in the moment, I don't think you know exactly what that means. It's like, it makes you not think about the future or the past much. It makes you not entertain your thoughts. And what most of your thoughts are just the future and the past, right? And it literally merges you with the present moment to the point that you're just here, fully engaged and fully attent and alert with exactly what's going on now. It's very interesting. And so I used to do this for me on a mild scale, and it would carry on into your sleep and my dreams too, and they become vivid. And that was the exact reason I actually started to take lucid dreaming seriously, because I started doing mini like bouts of meditation and they'd make my dreams vivid. I didn't really notice too much daytime benefits, because 10 minutes late at night, you know, I wasn't attentive. I wasn't even seeking the benefits. So I didn't really notice it, because I was only doing like 10 minutes. And I wasn't even that I wasn't even that consistent, hold on, with it at the time. Yeah, so I wasn't as consistent. But eventually, I started kicking it up a notch. I remember one day just deciding, you know what? I'm gonna meditate for 40 minutes. Now, they say you should, like, take it slow, you know? 10 minutes today, and then after some weeks, maybe 15, maybe 20. And you just keep going up a bit. But, like, I just jumped from 10 minutes. In fact, from having not meditated for, like, months, because I remember going a while without meditating, from 10 minutes to a straight 40 minutes. And holy poop, man. It was crazy. Right after the 20-minute mark, it stopped. It turned into something else, something that I hadn't experienced before. Because what you do with meditation, at least the meditation that I'm talking about, there's loads of different meditations, all super beneficial for spirituality. But what I'm talking about specifically is mindfulness meditation, which is the most common one, and I think the most impactful one, where every other experience stems from. And that is simply the act of sitting down and being aware of your thoughts and letting go of those thoughts. So focusing on an anchor, most likely your breath, just closing your eyes breathing. It doesn't have to be deep breaths, preferably chill breaths, so that you don't have to control and manually breathe. And just focus on your breath. Instantly, like a second into it, you're going to have crazy thoughts. We're thinking 24/7 all the time until we're dead asleep. And so you're just going to have a thought instantly. When you do have that thought, don't even worry about it. That's good. Once that thought comes through, you just observe it. Don't interact with it. Don't go deeper into the rabbit hole and like extrapolate on the thought. Just observe it and let it go. And bring your focus right back to your breath as soon as you notice that, oh, I'm distracted. Oh, I'm thinking about something. Bring it back to the breath. Another second or two later, you'll have another thought. Keep doing that. And it'll be a battle for the first 10 minutes, 20 maybe, or for the first couple of days if you're only doing 10 minutes. But eventually, you will start tapping into this point where your mind completely silences. And it starts happening quicker and quicker with each meditation. Like sometimes it will take maybe 10 minutes to get to that point. And then after 3 days, it starts to take only 7 minutes. And then after more days, you start entering that point quicker until a point where I will sit down and 2 minutes later, I'm in that very deep state of meditation. Whereas back then, it would take 30 to 40 minutes to get there. And what happens once you enter this really deep state of meditation is that's when it starts to get interesting, because you have never experienced a quiet mind. We don't understand that. They did a survey that proved that the human mind is happiest not when it's doing something it likes or when it's suffering, but when it's in the present moment, when it's not thinking. That is when you are happiest. Crazy, huh? And there's this quote that goes, 99% of our suffering is imagination. It's imaginary. Our thoughts cause 99% of our suffering. Our mental state causes our entire definition of reality. Because, like quantum physics proves, reality isn't really real. It's your mind projecting everything, you know? When you look at the table in front of you, you're not sure that's really a table. That's really just a bunch of frequencies, atoms, and light rays and magnetic fields interacting with yours. And the light that's coming into your eyes is interpreted by your eyes, by your brain, into the image. Your mind projects the image of reality around you. You have no idea what's actually out there, and it doesn't actually exist. Well, it does, but not the way you think it is. And so what defines your mood and your experience of this reality is your mind. And if you can get control of your thoughts and your mind through meditation, you've absolutely won in life. It's going to make life a lot easier for you. So what meditation enables you to do is grab a hold of these thoughts. Once you get to that really deep state, you experience like true silence in your mind. It's just peaceful. It feels infinite. You start to lose awareness of your body. It's gone. It's like you don't even know what left or right is, up and down is anymore. The longer you stay in that state, the more you feel like you start to kind of merge with just presence. Time gets weird. I've had an hour and a half long meditation. Like I've sat for an hour and a half before, and the first maybe 20 minutes felt agonizing. Sometimes they're really tiring, man. Your butt hurts and everything, all that stuff. But right after, boom, it just sped by. And I thought I had been meditating for max 40 minutes. Coming out of it was an hour and a half. I was like, what? That's insane. So time ceases to lose meaning. And I recorded this yesterday too, but I think the file got corrupted or something. So I'm trying to pull from what I was saying yesterday. But one thing that you realize also as you approach that pure silence spot where you're fully present in the moment in the meditation session and your thoughts, you're not battling with your thoughts, you're not constantly having your thoughts come through and then having to bring your attention back to the breath. It just stays there. First is as you're getting there, you start to notice the thoughts. You start to really understand how your mind works. And it's very interesting because as you're starting to meditate, most of the times the thoughts, if you do this enough, you start to see a pattern in your brain. You start to really understand how you work, how you think, and kind of how other people think and why you think the things you do. You start to have these shallow thoughts initially, like, what am I going to eat in 3 hours from now? What have I just eaten? What did I say to this person yesterday? And all that stuff. And then, like, a little later, you start getting deeper into more interesting thoughts, like, I wonder if I should have done that one thing to that one person 6 months ago. I wonder if I should have said this to that person. I wonder what I'm going to do 3 years from now. I wonder what my parents are feeling now, something like that. And then it gets deeper than that. And you start thinking of like philosophical things or just deeper stuff, you know, existence and all that stuff and traumas and just the meaning behind stuff. It starts to get deeper. So you can kind of start to notice the layers of your subconscious mind, you know, the part of you, the part of your mind that you're not always aware of. You start to notice it as you go deeper and deeper until you eventually reach that stage of nothingness. And when you're there, it feels absolutely euphoric. You lose all sensation of your body, and so it feels like you have no body to bring you the discomforts that a body brings you. I know it sounds hella hippy-dippy. Like, again, who would have thought I'd be saying this stuff? But it literally feels that way. It feels like, you know, how the fact that you have a body, like, the fact that you have a body, your soul is eternal. Your soul, I'd imagine, would be just a straight euphoric experience. Being in a body that's limitless, infinite, all-powerful, pure energy, that would be a great experience. Because we're in these three-dimensional bodies, these very limited bodies, we get to experience things like muscle fatigue, joint pains, and all that stuff. When you're meditating, you lose sense of all this stuff. And it's not in a dissociative, drug-induced, overdose type feeling, but rather like it feels like you've let go of the limitations of your physical body, and here you are experiencing just pure consciousness. And it feels blissful. It feels like you're, I don't know, you could be meditating with like your back straight, not laying up against anything, and it will feel like you're laying down on like clouds. It's pretty good stuff. And yeah, you just experience total clarity of mind. You start to understand random concepts. It just kind of happens. They just kind of get you. Which I started realizing that the more you abstain from distractions, the more you just stay in a state of meditation, the more you understand the nature of reality, because it's just there. But the distractions of this dimension kind of get us all caught up into it. But if you were to just be in some spot where it's just pure darkness, no sensations whatsoever, you start to experience or understand what this is, and you kind of start to get what time is, the fact that it's not really real in the way we perceive it, and it's just there. It's one big moment. You know, you weren't young 3 years ago, or you weren't a baby like 12 years ago, but rather you were just smaller. I don't know if I'm making any sense, man. It's like time doesn't really go on. It's just things tend to grow up and die, and new things get born and grow up. And in order for us to understand that in this dimension, to perceive that, we need to sequence it with our brains, with time. But really, it's just one big happening. And that's how the fourth dimensional and higher dimensional beings see this, because they're far more intelligent than we are. But anyways, I'm getting carried away. Meditation is amazing. The physical benefits are insane. When I started meditating for like 20 plus minutes, right after the session, right after, I'd feel it instantly, this insane level of calm and this insane level of focus. It's absolutely absurd. I've drank coffee a bunch of times. It doesn't come close. Coffee feels quite artificial induced, and you can get jittery, but this is just real. Like, this level of focus is just stems from pure presence in the moment. I find myself accidentally focusing on my work. Like I said, I work on average 8 hours a day on animations, just straight deep work. And meditation makes me accidentally focus for hours on end until I snap out of it. You know how you zone out accidentally and you just stop listening to whoever's talking to you, and then you're like, "Ooh, I was zoning out." You accidentally zone into meditation. You accidentally zone into a state of focus when you meditate. You're just like, and then you catch yourself and you're like, "Whoa, it's been an hour. I was focused. What the hell?" It's crazy stuff. It also gives you insane control over your thoughts. You start to learn, because you practice, you literally, every time you bring your attention from a thought back to your breath, that's like a bicep curl for the brain. That's good. Don't avoid that. When you get thoughts, a lot of thoughts in your brain, and you're constantly returning back to the breath, don't think you're messing up or you suck at meditation. That's the push-up for your brain. That's good. When you constantly do that, you literally train your brain to not get attached to thoughts, which we get attached to thoughts quite easily, especially depressive ones. For some reason, they tend to pique our interest a lot, and I think that's an evolutionary trait, so we survive, so we pay more attention to negative things so we can like survive. And so it's very easy to like get a negative thought about, okay, maybe my mom like whooped my ass yesterday, and you think about it and it makes you angry, and then you start thinking, why did she whoop my ass? Man, imagine if I had whooped her ass, how would she feel? You start getting caught up into like just negativity because it's negative. But when you keep meditating, you literally train your mind to see thoughts coming into its field of vision, like brr, brr, and then you grab the thought and you're like, yeet. You just yeet that thing out of there. And you train your mind to be able to do that at will. And so after meditating frequently, you're able to do that with any thoughts. When they start coming in, you can just throw them away, or you can simply observe them and not let them interfere with your emotional state, thus allowing you to make much better judgment, be clear-headed, and make better decisions without letting these thoughts affect you in an emotional state. You won't be detached from your thoughts. You'll still feel them, but that feeling won't affect you, the observer. You'll just feel it, but it won't affect your decisions, because you start to realize that you literally are the observer to your thoughts. You're not your thoughts. You're the thing watching your thoughts, that pure awareness that observes the thoughts like a TV screen. And you don't have to let these thoughts affect your mood. You can feel it. You need to feel sadness, for sure. There would be no light without dark. You need to feel love, happiness, all that stuff. But you don't have to let it affect your state of being. I don't know if I'm making any sense, but I like to think I am. Tough. Yeah. So meditation has been pretty profound for me in that. It's helped me out a lot in that. And I have to admit, this is why I feel like it's a good thing that I'm making this video. Because I'm not some ascended master guru yogi who's in the Himalayas mountain levitating in the lotus position because he's been meditating for 6 years in a row without eating or drinking. I'm not on that timing, not even close, and maybe I'm not trying to be. But I've learned some stuff, and I've put this stuff into practice. The thing is, I'm not perfect. I get pretty inconsistent sometimes. I get caught up with work because I'm trying to figure out my... I've already figured it out, but I'm trying to get to my goals and stuff. And balance and everything is a very strange thing, but that's the good thing. Because if any of you guys are interested in getting into this stuff, I'm relatable because I'm just like you in a sense. I kind of started this stuff a couple months back, realistically, like taking this stuff very seriously, maybe 6 months back, 7-8 months back-ish. So I'm not that different from you. I have just enough experience to start elaborating to you, but not too much to the point that I'm unrelatable. Because when yogis and gurus start telling you they sit down, meditate for 10 hours, and then leave their bodies, transcend time and space, and come back with infinite knowledge, it's like, bruh, you listening there who's never even prayed before? It's like, you get confused and you give up. But here I am telling you that this stuff is very achievable, very fast. Not to that extent, but yeah, and I'm also learning along with you guys, and I'm going to keep updating and just sharing my progress and stuff every now and then, if I remember to. But, yeah, we're all on the same page, and we could all learn together and grow together and stuff. But that's it with meditation. I highly reckon if there's anything that any of you guys want to start, it should be meditation. It'll help you in absolutely every single aspect of your life. I kid you not, man. And it's not even some woo-woo stuff anymore. Meditation is so mainstream, it's insane. Like, all of the high competitive CEOs and people in Silicon Valley preach meditation like it's a drug. You know, everyone everywhere, all the athletes, everyone understands the profound benefits of meditation. People just tend to overlook the spiritual side of things, but it helps everything. Meditation is the best tool you can have in your life, literally. Meditation would make you be content with being homeless. Like, not that you should be, strive for the very best life, but if you are homeless and your life is literally going to objective shit, in relative to those around you, if you had a good practice of meditation, you could turn that negative state into pure bliss and be happier than a billionaire. I'm not even joking. Anyways, that's with the meditation. The other thing that I've been getting into, gotta have the coffee, man. It tastes horrible. It's actually really bad. Oh, man. The other thing that I have been doing other than meditation is practicing lucid dreaming. That has been some crazy stuff, man. Now, I feel like before I explain the lucid dreaming stuff, I have to elaborate on the nature of reality. What I understand to be reality, this entire thing, the entire construct, what we're living in and what is out there and everything. This is the general consensus from most, if not all, spiritual traditions, cultures, everything that was here and predominant before the Abrahamic religions were forced down our throats. And anyone who's left their body through a near-death experience, heavy psychedelic thing, meditation, or out-of-body experience, astral projection, whatever, will most likely testify to very similar things, you know. What this is, from my understanding, again, I'm still learning. I know this is going to take you down the right path, but it may not be pinpoint accurate. But look into this stuff. I'll leave links. What I know is, out there, outside of everything, is a void. It's black, because the combination of all the colors equals black. It's black, but that's where everything is created. I think it's called the quantum field or something. You know, quantum physics is catching up to all this spiritual stuff, man. It's crazy. Man, I imagine the look on these scientists' face, man, when they figure this stuff out, and then they look at the ancient text and it's like, it's been said. They must feel, man, just imagine, bro, having some guru 30,000 years ago, you know, come to, like, a conclusion that you have devoted your entire life to discovering. I mean, just no discredit to them. These guys are awesome at quantum physics and stuff. They're bringing this stuff to mainstream. But dang, I don't know, man. It's like, if I put in 60 hours into an art piece only to realize that this 12-year-old kid actually drew it better than me, I'd be pissed. But anyways, what was I saying, bro? There is this black void out there. The quantum field, I guess, where everything originates from, all the ideas, all concept, all everything. There is also a white light. This is the light that a lot of people see when they die, when they have near-death experiences, heavy psychedelics, all that stuff. And they often report it to be God. Most Christians, most religious people, whoever, it doesn't matter your background, be atheist or not, a lot of them, keep in mind there's thousands of near-death experiences recorded. This is mainstream stuff. They always, not always, but a lot of times, they report seeing a white light, the brightest white ever, physically possible. But it's not irritating to the eyes. And it feels like that's the source of everything. It just intuitively and innately feels like that's who I am. That's a part of me. Like, I'm walking back to myself, and that is everything. That is literally God. And this is source. This is the ocean of consciousness that you hear about. And we as souls are just jugs. Like, imagine you have an ocean, and that is pure awareness, pure consciousness. This white light, God, source, everything, literally the origin of everything. And then our bodies or our souls are like portions of that. Take a jug and scoop up a little bit, put it in a glass. Take another jug, put it in another glass. And each glass is different bodies or different souls, different individuals, different selves or eyes. And, you know, but we're all the same. We're all part of the same consciousness. We're all one. That is source. That could be God. Who knows? There's definitely something that created everything. But as far as we're concerned, source, we understand what source is, and it seems to be a white light. It's unfathomable stuff, man, when it gets into, like, you know, the fabric of reality and everything. So it's even difficult for me to explain it. But that's pretty much it. That is out there. And from that, we get our individual selves, right? Our souls. And so what happens is we have constructs. Maybe I'll put up some images. I don't know if I have images, but I'll see if I can. What happens is we have constructs, right? Which are kind of the things that contain our entire universe says, or whatever. So we have these constructs, right? People who've left their bodies, astral projectors, OBEs, near-death experiences, and yogis and gurus and stuff like that. And even, yogis and gurus and stuff like that. People who leave their bodies often report leaving all things and all constructs, stepping outside into this place that just looks like it has different constructs stacked on God's shelves. These are like different realities, different universes, and there's an infinite amount of these everywhere. And us as souls can literally choose to step into one and have an experience. Crazy stuff. We can choose to step into constructs, and these constructs, I don't know if they look different for different people, but most people report it being like domes, like spheres, just giant, some are like spheres, some are like puddles and all that, but they're all just realities, universes that you as a soul, as a spirit can tap into and experience, like a dream, like a game. It's like you're in a video game store and they have all these you know, shelves with like a lot of video games, and you can just choose which one to play. And so within our construct, we have different realms, right? And man, each realm is it's getting complicated, isn't it? We have different realms, basically, and each realm resonates at its own frequency. In a sense, it's pretty complex stuff, but there is the earthly realm, there is heavenly realm. Heaven is a place, it's here, but it's just, I guess I'll call it in another dimension, and it's not the heaven from the Bible or the Quran. I don't know about the Quran heaven. Again, man, I do not want the backlash from any of these things, but the heaven you all know about, it exists, but it's not like that. You don't just sing and praise this bearded man for eternity. No offense to my folks, but yeah, you don't sit and praise Jesus for eternity. It's different. You look in the ancient texts and they describe this stuff. This stuff predates the Bible by tens of thousands of years. And so the heavenly realms exist. There is a similar place to hell, but it's curated to yourself. And depending on how you die, you could experience it. But it's not like eternal damnation. You will leave, and it's just based off of your belief systems. And it's like you self-condemn yourself to hell, and you it's not eternal. And there's a bunch of other realms that exist here in our construct, our universe. But then in our realm, the earthly realm, it's weird because space isn't exactly what we've been told. It's space. It's like a vast area, but it's not exactly what we've been told. Look into that as well. But the point being, in our realm, the earthly realm, right, which doesn't just refer to the planet, it refers to our reality that we can see right now and understand. Everything that you can see and conceive right now, that is part of the earthly realm. Even Mars is part of the earthly realm, and, you know, these planets around us and stuff, this is the earthly realm, the physical reality that we can tap into right now. And so within the earthly realm, within each realm are different dimensions. Within each realm. So first we have the construct, which is basically the entire universe. We have multiple constructs, which are the multiverse that you as a soul can tap into at any given time. And then with these universes, right, these multiple universes, within them is you know, these universes, we call them constructs, universes, whatever. Within them are realms, different realms, earthly realms, heaven realms for our universe, and other realms, many realms. And within these realms are dimensional spaces. Now, our realm has at least 12 dimensional spaces, has at least 12 dimensions. Quantum physics proves this, or else reality would have to collapse. And we have fixed dimensional spaces, which there's only 12 of these. And we have other dimensional spaces, which are thought forms that are infinite, basically, because every thought you have creates its own dimension that can be experienced and exist independently without you. Crazy stuff, but I'll get into that later. So we have these dimensions and stuff in our reality, right? And so these 12 dimensions, we have 1D, which is a point, a dot, 2D, which is line or a series of lines, and then 3D. I don't know if I've spoken about this before. Could have, might have. But regardless, we have 3D, which is our reality, length, depth, and height, and stuff like that. And then we have 4D, which I think involves time or something. I might be wrong. And 5D and higher and higher and higher, things we cannot even conceive or comprehend anymore. And these are the fixed dimensions that exist in our reality. Now, look at the gap in intelligence between you, right? You, a three-dimensional being, and a drawing. Because like I said, every thought you have creates its own dimension in the, like, its own dimensional space, its own pocket of existence in reality. I think in the fourth dimensional plane or something, because the fourth dimensional plane, I think, is it involves just thought forms and stuff like that. I'm not too sure about this stuff, but you just got to understand that your thoughts create little realities right outside, right above our existence. And those realities are real. They exist, right? And so even when you draw something, the little story you give the character itself, the anime you watch, the stories you write, the stories you tell people, the scenarios you think about in, you know, 2 a.m. before you go to bed, all the weird stuff, you know, it all exists somewhere. All your twisted fantasies, bro. I see you. I see you, man. Hold on, let me look at, yeah. I see you. You're weird, bro. Your fantasies, they exist. You psycho. You sicko. Ugh. But yeah, you know, these exist somewhere out there. And they're real. And so even that two-dimensional drawing that you drew, it exists. Now, the gap in intelligence, depending on if you've given this two-dimensional drawing intelligence or not, but just the gap in intelligence from a 2D thing, a 2D being, to a 3D being is unfathomable, right? We don't even think they are alive. We don't even think they're aware. That's how, at least my understanding of this, that's how massive the gap is between our consciousness awareness. Now, the thing is, you got to understand, quantum physics proves this. Every single atom is aware. That's the string theory. They decide to collapse into physical material when we're observing them. But when we turn around, they, like, release, and they just exist as a wave of potentials. Atoms are aware of when you're watching them, proving that everything is literally conscious. This iPad that I'm recording on, this like wool, the curtains, my phone, everything, every little thing is literally aware, and you can experience that. Like, there is an experience of being a phone. There is the experience of being a thread on your bed sheet. You know, there's the experience of being a blade of grass and being a rock and everything. We just don't understand it. It's not anything remotely close to our awareness. Now, the gap between a 2D concept or idea or being, at least considering it doesn't have like crazy intelligence, compared to us, is unfathomable. Like, your intelligence compared to like a drawing on a piece of paper, what is that, like infinite? The gap, I think that's the gap between us and the beings in the fourth dimension. And that gap between the fourth dimensional beings and the fifth is probably the same. Some unfathomable level of just understanding, right? That increases as you go higher and higher in dimensions. This is why when people encounter DMT beings, which I believe are really high dimensional beings, maybe 12 or 11 or 10, who knows? It's just unfathomable. Just their sheer presence is like, you feel like you're standing in front of God or a God, literally. Not the Anunnaki men that pretended to be gods, but something that is infinitely, incomprehensibly more profound than you are, you know, because of the sheer gap, man. Imagine being a two-dimensional drawing, a concept, and interacting with a three-dimensional human. You'd probably think it's God in a sense. I don't know, maybe I'm getting real weird now, huh? But yeah, what else was I gonna rant about? So that's with the dimensions, the fixed dimensions. They exist and you can tap into them. And then we have the thoughts. Every time you think of something, you send that thought out into the ether of space and time, and you turn it into a tangible thing. Every time you think, not tangible in our dimension, but it exists, it's sent out there. This is how manifestation works as well. You just think it, it's sent into the ether of space, and now you have to put the action required behind it to attract it. With enough focus, it happens. There, you look up quantum entanglement and stuff like that, and you start to understand how these things kind of work. Quantum physics also proves that a lot of our synapses can, atoms and synapses in our brains, which kind of cause thoughts and stuff, can literally phase in and out of existence and into other dimensions. Quantum physics, bro. you know, I could literally say anything to you and then add quantum physics at the end, bro, and you'd believe it. But nah, quantum physics for real. Look into it. Atoms and things can phase in and out of existence into other dimensions. They've proven that your thoughts can entangle with other thoughts from the other side of the universe that have been put out by other people, beings, and all that. It can even entangle, and you can get thoughts from other dimensions, way higher, way lower. That's where creativity comes from. Things that have never existed ever in anyone's mind or in any physical plane here, And then boom, someone invents it. That's, I think that's something from somewhere else completely. A lot of our ideas and stuff are usually from somewhere else. A lot of our thoughts come from elsewhere, you know? Because thoughts are just here and you pick up on these things. When you get really spiritual, perhaps in future videos, I'll talk about this. But this energy stuff and all that, being around low vibrational people and high vibration, is super real. Your brain, your mind is literally like an antenna for everything that exists here. And if you were third eye, or if you were to just expand your consciousness enough somehow to be able to see these things, you'd realize that you're interacting with everything all the time. Including people's thoughts and ideas and vibes and energies and frequencies, intuition. Women are especially good at this, man. God, it's like they always read your mind every time. I think just women are so, and we know this, women are more emotionally aware and intelligent than men. They just have a deeper connection with these things. And the more I meditate and do spiritual things, the more I start to tap into it and I start to see, and I just start to trust my intuition and gut. You can even start hearing your heart. It's actually crazy. If you really, man, there is so much. We have so much about us that we're just so asleep to. But if we figured it out, it would be like a big hack to this game. And we just realize, oh, this is a game. Like, we came here to have fun and make the most of it, not have life happen to us and, like, literally spank us every morning, you know? But anyways, I'm getting sidetracked. Yeah, so that's with the ideas and stuff. Now, when, yeah, those are the dimensions. So we have the fixed dimensional places, which are 12 at least, or reality will collapse. And then we have many, an almost infinite, probably infinite amount of dimensional spaces created by individual thoughts. Now, this is our reality. And we came to Earth specifically to experience that which we are not. Because once you're out there as a soul, once you're out of everything for long enough, all your memories start to come back. You start to realize who you were. The fact that you probably chose your name, you probably chose your parents, the purposes you had in line for your life here, the milestones or the markers or the preset cursor events that you needed to experience here that happened probably. And things like that, you start to remember your past lives, be it on Earth when you were a Viking, an Egyptian ruler, or, you know, a Mayan guy. You start to remember your experiences in other dimensions, because most of us were actually multidimensional beings in previous incarnations. In fact, we spend majority of our existence in other dimensions, most likely higher ones. And that's why when a lot of people do DMT and experience these extremely high dimensions, it's like, I've been here before. Like, this is where I was. And what I'm experiencing now is just a dream. You, like I said, you feel like you've woken up from a dream, not like you're going into one. That is crazy stuff just to imagine. And so you start to get all this information back. You start to tap into the records of everything. All the knowledge of everything comes back, and you just start to understand what everything was. Not only that, but you're all powerful out there. You literally are like a god out there. Each soul is like that. Any thought that we have is instantly manifested into reality. You never lose anything, and you're connected to everyone. You have access to every single soul, every single person that you thought you lost in your life. You thought they died. You thought they left you. You thought all of that stuff. You thought you'd never see each other again. You can access them. Literally, their souls. They're, you can experience them. You can have any experience. It's like a dream, but as real as you want it to be. Could be more real than this. Heck, just being out there feels more real than this. Because you got to remember, this is a simulation in a sense. This is literally a virtual reality game. This isn't real. This isn't even as tactile or as real as it gets. Do DMT and you'll see it can get much more real than here. And once you really die or leave your body and really go out there, you experience what reality is. And so they say it's all the pleasures of physicality without limits, without limitation. You can do anything, anytime, anywhere. But then, because we are godlike in nature, literally a representation, a fractal representation of God, we choose to have these crazy experiences like this earthly one, because out there, experience is all that matters. As a soul, when you're an infinite God, in a sense, experience is all that matters. So you just want to experience things, you know? You want to experience limitations. You want to experience certain sides of emotions, certain spectrums of emotions, sensations, and all that stuff. So we throw ourselves into these multiverses, these millions of infinite constructs and universes. We just tap into these. And the thing about the earthly one is it's special because this one is meant for us to experience that which we are not. Because out there, we are infinite. We are eternal. Down here, we die at like age 80, 120 max, because these Anunnaki guys put telomere caps on our cells. It's written in the ancient text, and Lil, the evil brother, Anunnaki ruler, said that our lives will max out at 120. Modern science has proven you're not going to live past 120. It's very unlikely. More proof that these guys actually did tinker with our DNA and everything. But here we have limitations. We have limitations in our senses and our emotions and all that stuff. Out there is not that at all. Here we have the illusion of ego separation, that we are all different, that we get misunderstandings and all that stuff. Out there we understand that we are all one source consciousness. And don't get the misconception that when you leave, you just merge into this white light and you lose all sense of yourself. And this, when you leave, you can still be yourself. You can still have these ideas that you carry today. You can look the way you look today. You can be this person. There are no limitations out there, man. It's just no limits. But here there's all these limits. And that's the point of it. That's the point of it. The earthly realm is apparently the only one where to experience it, you must be born, and you're born with amnesia because these bodies cannot handle all the knowledge and information that comes from all our past experiences. So we're stuck with amnesia and we start afresh. It's also the only realm where to exit, you must first die. So there's that. And but every other experience, for the most part, at least to my understanding, you just pop in to these other experiences, other dimensions, other realities, other constructs and universes, and you just experience them, and you can leave whenever, and you don't lose your memories and all that. But this one is special. And so what happens? That's basically reality in a nutshell, at least my understanding of reality. Now, what happens when you dream is we have these sleep cycles. I think there's 6 of them. I'll probably find a graph or something and put it on the screen. But we have sleep cycles, and I think, I'm going to guess there's 6 of them. The REM cycles. Now, REM is rapid eye movement. It's the period of sleep where your eyes are moving really fast beneath your eyelids all over the place because you're dreaming. And you have these cycles where if I have the graph up right now, you can see you like fall asleep and then you get into REM sleep, which is the light sleep. And then you get deeper and deeper into deeper sleep. And then you kind of start coming out of it again and you enter REM sleep and then boom, you wake up. You wake up a couple times a night, 4 to 6 times, I think. And you just don't notice it because you're not conscious. But that's when you turn, twist and turn, maybe go take a waz sometimes or whatever. But it happens. That's usually right after a dream. And so when you're in REM sleep, as you sleep, when you die or when you sleep, when you start to lose consciousness, right, your magnetic field, which is the thing that keeps our souls in our bodies, starts to let loose. And therefore, your soul starts to have a bit more mobility to leave and move around. When you're in REM sleep, the light levels of sleep, your soul leaves your body just a little bit. Just a little bit. Therefore, it can access your field. And your field literally means all your thoughts. Your subconscious mind, your soul in a sense, you know, it accesses everything that you've ever thought of, everything you could have ever thought of, even involving your past lives everywhere, multi-dimensional too, and everything, your entire soul. Because what is your soul? What is your real essence? I think your essence is just a collection of all the thoughts that you could have possibly ever had and possibly have ever had. That is a real look into the subconscious mind, right? Everything that you're aware of, everything that you're not aware of, including the experience of other things. Because at the end of the day, this is why it's all connected. Your subconscious mind has the knowledge of your mom's subconscious mind, your friend's subconscious mind, your sister's subconscious mind, that rock in front of your backyard's subconscious mind. Everything within you is the knowledge of absolutely everything. And you can tap into that when you go to sleep because it's around your field. Obviously, the better you get at lucid dreaming, the more you can tap into these things, but it's all at your disposal. Now, when you start to leave your body just a little bit during sleep and access your field, you start having dreams. And what dreams are is you're interacting with your subconscious mind, all your thoughts. And dreams are very powerful because, let alone lucid dreaming, dreams themselves are an interaction with your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind, like I said, is your soul, your real essence. It speaks to you. It's that intuition you hear, perhaps that voice in your head and whatnot. And when you're in a dream, you're interacting with an intelligence that supersedes your current one here on this reality by far. That's why so many inventions have been found through dreams and psychedelic use and stuff, because they open you up to the subconscious mind and the information that exists in this ether of space and time. It's all around us. You just start to tap into it. And that's why, like, you know, the double helix strand was found in in a dream. The DNA thing was discovered through dreams, and a lot of revolutionary inventions and ideas found through dreams. Impossible for it to just have been someone who like figured it out. It's like this information is given to you by your subconscious or whatever it is. You know, it's out there, and you can interact with it in your dream. Your dream often shows you things that you have to deal with, things that you've pushed down in your life, things that you're avoiding. It shows you your greatest pleasures, your greatest fears. It's an interaction, a real conversation with your higher self. And every single dream is meaningful. And when you start to learn to interpret these and understand them, it turns into a very powerful tool for you to utilize in your waking life and when you sleep as well. Some real crazy stuff, these dreams, man. A lot of times, people have precognitive dreams. This is a huge phenomena that science is, you know, proving too. You know, a lot of people predict the future. You've probably predicted the future with a dream before. You've probably had a bunch. And every time you have deja vu, you're like, oh man, that has happened before. This has just happened before. It's been in a dream. It could have been the dream you had yesterday. It could have been the dream you had 16 years ago. I've had literal deja vus. Recently, I was editing a video like 3 months ago. The previous podcast I posted on this channel, actually. And as I'm editing it, I get the craziest sense of deja vu. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? This has happened before. And then boom, because I've been like working with my dreams a lot, dream journaling, and really making sure my dream recall is on point, because you need that to start getting vivid dreams and whatnot. And lucid dreaming, all this. I remembered that I had this dream literally like 10 to 12 years ago. It's like, how did that even, you know? And I have a couple friends, actually, and I didn't even know it was this common, but turns out it's really common. Probably like one in every 10 people you know has crazy amounts of like precognitive dreams. I have friends that predict dream like the future every week or so, and things happen, and they tell me, they call me, and it's like, yo, I think this is gonna happen. And then a week later, boom, it happens. It's insane. And just because I've been paying attention to this stuff, I've been noticing it. Like a lot of people that I know, even my dad at one point, I think, has a lot of these precognitive dreams. So it's some real crazy stuff, you know, and I know exactly why that happens. Now, when you have thoughts, right, here's the thing about time. Here's the thing about the future. The past exists. It has happened. It's happened. The present is happening. The future does not exist. It exists only as potentials, potential outcomes and things that could potentially happen. Now, the only reason things happen is because humans manifest them. Like tomorrow, the only reason tomorrow happens is because everyone has collectively manifested an idea of what they're going to do tomorrow. And when they put action behind it, tomorrow happens exactly how they had created it in their mind. It's how we manifest out there, but there is no delay in time and action required. It just happens instantly. But here, because we're experiencing that which we are not and we have limitations, when we do decide to manifest, there's a gap in time and there's a gap in action. You need to put in the action. You got to wait the required amount of time to get the desired outcome. Now, if I think I'm going to wake up tomorrow, have a cup of coffee at 8, I have created a potential. I've sent out a thought. It's turned into a dimensional space that I can access in my dreams. And that's a potential for tomorrow. If tomorrow comes through, the time has passed. And if I put the action to get the cup of coffee, make it, and drink it, then that reality has happened, been manifested in 3D, right? And so when you dream and access these dimensional spaces of yours, your dimensional spaces, your thoughts of the future, past, present, and if you get deep enough into the practice, thoughts of other things and beings and stuff, then you can essentially predict the future. If you can access dimensional spaces that were created by your own thoughts of what the future was gonna be. And that's why some people can predict that someone else is gonna die, because the subconscious mind already knows the thoughts and the potential outcomes of even those around you, everyone, everything that has ever existed. And sometimes you end up tapping into the collective thoughts of maybe an entire city predicting that it's going to flood. You have a dream that the city is going to flood because deep down in everyone's subconscious in that city, they had this. Okay, that's actually a difficult example. That's a very difficult example. But let's say you predict someone's going to trip, or someone's going to get into an accident, or someone's going to fight, or someone's going to jump off a building or something. This is because you tapped into their thoughts of the future, and they just ended up waiting the amount of the amount of time required, ended up passing, and they ended up putting the required action into that potential, and it ended up happening. So it's not like you really predict the future. You just access people's thoughts of the future And if they manifest those thoughts correctly, then yes, you have predicted the future and it ends up happening just like that. I would literally know what happens tomorrow in this household if I could tap into everyone's potential thoughts of tomorrow, specifically the ones that they were going to put action behind. Then I would literally know exactly what happens from A to Z tomorrow. So that's exactly what happens when you dream. When you have these precognitive dreams of the future, you're accessing thoughts, and the thoughts are really powerful. In this reality, your beliefs and your thoughts are literally your video game controller. If this is VR, the headset, the keyboard of the controller, it's your thoughts and beliefs. You think of something, you manifest it. It's out there now. All you got to do is wait the required amount of time and put in the action to bring it into your reality. Be it monetary success, success in your relationships, friends, building your life up to some way, you know? It's all accessible. That's the reason we came here, man. Would you play GTA if it wouldn't let you do what you wanted to? You know, like, there's a reason we came here, and it's not to get absolutely railed by life. It's to take it by the throat and, you know, figure something out. And I'm not saying, like, take it by the throat and get rich. It's not everyone's purpose to get rich or successful in that sense, but there's a purpose that everyone has, and taking life by the throat and achieving that purpose is literally manifesting. We have video game controllers that we're not even tapping into, because we're so asleep and enslaved by the... Okay, I'll get conspiratory now. But, yeah. That's the dreams of the future and stuff. Lucid dreaming. Lucid dreaming is crazy because behind every character and everything in your dream that you interact with is a thought form. What the subconscious mind does is oftentimes it doesn't speak to you in language. It speaks to you in symbolism and metaphors, metaphoric language. It represents itself through people, characters, environments, and experiences, and gives you a message like that, because that is the deepest language for your subconscious. You knew about that before you learned English. When you were born here, that's the language you understood. You know, as a baby, when you're having dreams, they're not going to talk to you in languages, because you don't know jack squat about no languages, but you'll have things happen, and they will relay a message, and if you're attentive enough, you'll figure it out. And so that's what thought forms are in dreams. That's what characters and stuff are in dreams. Now, when you're lucid, when you're aware that you're dreaming, not only can you sometimes and with practice reliably control every single aspect of your dream. Like, I've ended up lifting entire countries in dreams. Like, it would be awesome. You lift up a continent and it's this giant monolithic just floating behemoth of an island in the sky. You can do some crazy stuff. And, you know, you can pursue all the weird dark fantasies you guys have, man. You guys are weird, bro, honestly. You guys are weird, bro. The weird crimes that y'all do. But you can do pretty much anything. So it's fun. It's fun. It makes you look forward to sleep. The more you practice paying attention to your dreams, writing them down in the morning, and these practices that are required to get into lucid dreaming, which I'll talk about in another video perhaps, the more vivid your dreams get. They get really vivid, and some dreams can get just as vivid as this one. I've had a bunch of those. It's insane. And so because your dreams become so vivid, you start to literally understand that these dimensions are as real as ours is. Who knows? Maybe our dimension is just someone's thought form. Who knows? But it's not. It's an actual fixed dimension, at least as far as we're concerned. But you start to get excited to go to bed because it's like you're living another life once you start dreaming and stuff. And so with these super vivid dreams, when you get lucid, they instantly get as vivid as real life, and you can interact and do whatever you want. But also you can speak to your subconscious and really, you know, when you're dreaming, it's like your subconscious shows you what it's got to show you. When you're lucid, you can ask questions, you can interact with it, you can experience things that supersede even psychedelic experiences, even the strongest of ones like DMT, because through lucid dreaming, you can leave your body. And by leaving your body, you can experience literally everything. Everything. So you get to ask your subconscious literal questions like, who am I? What's my purpose? Things like that. It's out of this world. You can experience things like unconditional love. You can speak to deities and stuff. You can ask for stuff about the future and all this stuff. Now, it's not always going to be just straightforward like that. There's processes and understandings and concepts that got to be, you know, conceived throughout this. It's like a whole learning experience. You don't just become super good naturally, unless you are. I don't know, man. But yeah, you can get to just levels of profound understanding and interaction with your subconscious mind, with your soul, with, in a sense, a representation of God. through lucid dreaming. It's really powerful. People have been known to heal other people who are terminally ill with like cancer and stuff through lucid dreaming. And another thing is that science has discovered that dreams actually, when you practice something in dreams, you learn it almost quicker than in real life. I think actually quicker. You could practice basketball or whatever, and your hoops, your shots will get better because your body cannot tell the difference between dreams and reality. You can gain muscle in your dreams. It's ridiculous, man. What's crazy is that if you play tennis and you want to get really good at tennis, you can start serving in your dreams and get good at tennis, but it's your dreams. You can have a thousand serves in 3 seconds. You would have gained 1,000 serves or at least something close to that in real life. Now, it's not as linear, you know, the results with everyone, but that's the potential which you could achieve if you dedicate enough time to this practice. You can learn anything at your own pace. You can do a lot of insane stuff in your lucid dreams. And I think dreams are the gateway to your subconscious. If you don't want to take random psychedelic drugs that might give you a traumatic trip, one that you need nonetheless, you will learn and grow from it, but traumatic still, you know, if you don't want to spend 10 years trying to meditate so you can leave your body, if you don't want to nearly die so you can experience this, learn to lucid dream. It will take you at most a couple months, honestly. If you put in the effort, you'll probably have a lucid dream within the first 2 weeks. I'm not even joking. It's very likely. If you just put in the diligent effort in 2 weeks and perhaps like a month or two or three, you'll probably get them very consistently. And a year from then, you'll probably be really good, almost at will, you know? And yeah, it's just, I recommend lucid dreaming and meditation quite a bit, man. And then the last thing, past lucid dreaming. So I've been doing lucid dreaming and I do it a lot. Oh, and another thing, when you start to get really in touch with your subconscious, the more you do these practices, you can ask for certain dreams before going to bed. I remember I was going through a very tough period a couple months ago and I asked for certain dreams and I would get them. I'd ask for them before sleeping and I'd get them. And sometimes I would be required to do certain work in the dreams, like certain things to get over and deal with certain things in the dreams. And if I don't deal with them, I would get these violent vibrations in the dream whenever I'm like, because I'm lucid and I'm like, oh man, fuck this, I'm gonna fly around and do weird crimes. But right as I try to do that, I'd get violent vibrations in my brain, like, nope. And I'd have to come back and do what it is I should do. You're literally dealing with like an incomprehensible intelligence in your dreams. That is you, the real nature of yours. And yeah, it's just crazy stuff. Past dreams, you get OBEs, out-of-body experiences, astral projections, and all that stuff. Now, CIA has declassified documents about this. You can look it up, man. And it absolutely baffles me how the general public can hear that, yeah, the CIA confirms that people can leave their bodies. They've been having psychic spies, and they've been training people to do something like remote viewing and stuff so they can spy on Russian militaries and everything. Training people to leave their bodies and go look at bases on Mars and all that crazy stuff and see the dark side of the moon and all these weird things. Very conspiratory stuff. And people are just chilling. Like, I don't understand. And I get it. Like, we're so distracted because that's not going to help you pay the bills. That's not going to get you financially free. But it's just insane, man, because it's not accidental. These guys want to keep us just distracted so we don't figure this stuff out, despite it being blatantly in our faces, you know? But, yeah. So this stuff is 100% real. All ancient cultures used to do this quite a lot. And I think it's that and psychedelic experiences were one of the main ways these guys achieved the knowledge and information that they have now, aside from the fact that it was handed to them by the aliens and stuff. That was definitely a big part of it too. And well, when you leave your body, it's what happens when you go into the deeper levels of sleep. Your magnetic field completely breaks, it leaves, it shuts down, and your soul is free to leave your body. And once you leave, it's basically like dying. And it feels like dying a lot. It's a near-death experience controlled. I'll share a couple links down there about guys that are really proficient at this and some like podcasts with ex-CIA agents, like the first remote viewer, the first agent for the CIA who was taught this stuff and everything. It's some crazy stuff, and it's becoming very mainstream, and it goes to show that alone, like some of these things alone, you just look at them and they instantly disprove stuff, majority of religious dogma. The fact that we can do these things instantly disproves, or at least makes you question, a lot of the intentions behind religion and what you believe in, you know. Instantly, it's just like, oh. And the fact that it's pretty blatantly clear that aliens are definitely real now, I mean, this, it's all over the news, you know. these aliens recently what deactivated like nuclear codes and stuff, and U.S. generals had to testify to Congress about it. So it's some real stuff. They landed and deactivated nuclear codes, or just crazy stuff like that. The UFOs that have been going around these days, which obviously some of them are ours, but some of them are not ours and everything. It's very clear there's extraterrestrials and even beings here that probably were here before us that are just as intelligent, if not more, that exist. It's super clear now. So it's only a matter of time. And with AI and everything, it's going to be very quick before religion as a system dismantles completely. Mark my words, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Soon. I'm not, like, demonic for this, I think. But, yeah, so, you know, you leave your body and you basically die. And you can start to access everything. You can access loved ones. You can access the Akashic records. You can visit places on Earth. You can see people. You know how in your dreams you access your fields? When you leave your body, astral projection, OBEs, whatever, you can access other people's fields. You can predict other people's futures. You can see other people's thoughts. Out there, no one can lie to you because you feel everything. Everything feels so much more real because you've left this human body with all its limitations, and now you have more senses. Your senses are already heightened. You can feel it. You can feel everything. You can feel people's emotions. You can feel when they're lying to you. You can feel their intentions. Everything is amped up to 100, your real expression, you know, and you can morph yourself, you can just do all sorts of crazy things, visit other dimensions, leave the constructs completely, merge with source. The better you get at this practice, of course, you won't be able to do this at like day one, but it gets pretty interesting. And so yeah, that's what happens when you leave your body. You can go to places. You start to realize what the pyramids are. The ancient tablets speak about this. Modern science is also proving this, and archaeological evidence and people who leave their body. The pyramids are like the biggest evidence of advanced civilizations that supersede us to this day, because we cannot recreate that thing. We can't recreate those things. They're all over the planet, and they are especially the Great Pyramids. I think they're like super stone computers that like do stuff that we can't do today. When configured right, they could power entire nations. They could open dimensions and portals to other realms. It's just crazy what the pyramids could do and can do. What's underneath the pyramids, which are giant libraries, I think part of the Akashic records or something, which hold the information about the entire universe from the very beginning of time. Thoth talks about this in the Emerald Tablets, and science is catching up, and archaeology is realizing that, bro, everything in this tablets is almost 100% true, and we're figuring it out in real time. It's crazy stuff. And so when you leave your body, you can access places like these. You can access the pyramids. You can go underneath them. You can go inside them, see what's really going on. You can go to Mars and see what's happening over there. You know, they realize that Mars looks just like Earth. Yeah, you should look into that. It's not a red giant. It's not inhabitable. It's just as inhabitable as Earth. And it's green and blue. There's billions of tons of water on Earth, on Mars. There's lots of greenery. This just proves that, you know, the Anunnaki really did land there first, because it was just like Earth and they terraformed it. If you look at images off of these rovers that were sent on Mars, you see ancient anomalies, things like look like pyramids and structures out there, war remnants and stuff. It's just insane what happens when you dig into these rabbit holes and you realize, god damn, bro. Man, we've been living in cap. A soup full of cap. But yeah, so this is what happens when you learn to leave your body. You start to access everything, and you start to understand how this game works. I think the highest level that you can achieve, obviously, there's more, you know, the yogis and masters understand these things. I'm not there yet. But I think learning to astral project and leaving your body is probably the peak, you know, because there, then you start to access everything, literally everything. You start to understand this. It's like playing a VR game in which the moment you enter it, you forget reality and are so enthralled into the game and what's happening. Learning to astral project is learning to take off the VR headset whenever, look around and be like, oh, I am a person. Oh, man. And like, I chose to play this game. And, oh, this is how the game works. And I could hack it by doing this and that and that. And then going back into it with all this knowledge and just playing the game, not on easy mode, but on extra magical mode. You know? I have lucid dreamt a lot, and I have astral projected once accidentally. It happens. If you get a lot of Jesus Christ, man, there's a truck moving out here, so I'm just going to chill.
I'm a wacky character, man.
Yeah. Okay. As I was saying, with sheesh, my memory, bro.
Oh, Lee, hold on.
With astral projection, it's like the pinnacle, I'd imagine. And so I've done it once before accidentally, before I even knew like about focusing on dreams and everything. So I didn't know what it was. But if you get sleep paralysis a lot, which I guarantee some of you have had, it don't fear it. Like, obviously, it triggers your amygdala. You're going to feel the fear regardless, but don't let it overwhelm you. Don't become the fear. Observe the fear through meditation, but you can just observe the fear, right? That is a gateway to lucid dreaming and to astral projection. I wish I could trade lives with you if you get frequent sleep paralysis, because this stuff is going to come hella easy to you. All you do is, when you get sleep paralysis, just close your eyes and don't fall asleep. Close your eyes and don't fall asleep and just observe. You're going to enter a lucid dream. And if you do the right practices, you could just astral project straight. Sleep paralysis is the gateway to mystical experiences and being aware in your sleep. Because sleep paralysis happens when you just wake up and your body's not awake. And I think it's because your body just happened to wake up in the middle of a deep sleep state. Your mind happens to become conscious in a deep sleep state, which is usually when your soul is out there traversing. Because like I said, your soul leaves your body every single night. Every single night. Unless you do drugs and stuff. And alcohol. Then you don't. That's why you don't dream when you drink lots of alcohol. Or smoke weed or pot or whatever. But yeah, your soul leaves your body every night. You're just not aware of it. That's why you don't remember all your dreams that clearly. Because you're not conscious. And that's why you don't remember the times you astral projected and met your grandma. Because you're not aware of when your body leaves. But everyone can do this, and it happens every single night. You just got to be aware of it. Now, you become aware of it if you accidentally become conscious in this deep state when your body's out, your soul is out there. It comes back, you experience sleep paralysis. But if you stay conscious, your body goes back into deep sleep and your soul goes out there. You just got to get up and boom, you've left. Or your soul goes back into a dream, and you can even astral project from a lucid dream. It's crazy stuff. So that's what happens when you astral project. Your magnetic field is completely off. You're in a deep sleep state and your soul is out there and you're aware of it. So, yeah, I accidentally astral projected once. I was flying outside my house. I remember having sleep paralysis, staying aware of it, falling into a semi-lucid dream. I wasn't too sure of what I was doing. So that's why I was semi-lucid. If it happens today, I will 100% take advantage of it and experience some trippy shit. But yeah, I was flying outside my house, and I just remember that. I remember the paralysis, crazy vibrations. My body was vibrating like crazy, which is what happens when your frequency is going up, which is why you probably feel a hell of vibrations in your sleep paralysis. You feel the same thing if you do DMT and you're about to blast off. You hear this crazy ringing and your frequency goes up and you vibrate and all that stuff. Happens a lot when you're transcending. And yeah, went into the dream, and then I remember just the dream ended, and then I was flying outside my house, and then I woke up in the morning and was like, what was that? Because it felt so real, almost more real than this. It was extremely crisp, but I only had about 10 seconds or 5 seconds worth of memory from it. I remember trying to induce it recently by staying aware as my body falls asleep. With intense meditation, you kind of start to do this easier. And it was scary. It definitely feels like you're dying each time. So, yeah. But, you know, what happens afterwards is totally worth it. I didn't get there, but I got to sleep paralysis. My heart just went crazy. I was, like, panicking. Despite, I thought I was, like, you know, I meditate, so I'm probably going to stay calm. And I'm, nope, man, bro. It feels like you're dying for some reason, man. I don't know why that is. But I'll get there. So, that has been my ramble, man. And that has been just the stuff I've been doing. To be quite frank with you, this stuff has... I've been doing this for like, I've been looking into this stuff and practicing it for a year and a half-ish. And in this year and a half, it has done more for me than my entire 19 years prior, 18 years prior as a religious person. I'm not attacking Christianity, nor Islam, nor Hinduism, or any other belief or religion. I'm all for it because, like I said, it has done a lot of good for the world, despite having most wars and, you know, just geopolitical global conflicts be be a direct result of it, it's still done a lot of good. It still raised me to be the person I am. It's given me a lot of the morals I have. The communities around these organizations are great. The people are amazing. The people are awesome. It's just the guys behind it are usually a bunch of evil scumbags, the most vile human beings that exist on this earth. But then, you know, the more you do the spiritual stuff and leave your body and stuff, you also start to realize that no one's really evil. Good and evil are just concepts. There is no objective good or objective bad. Sure, there's things that feel bad and things that feel good and things you shouldn't do, especially in this existence, you know. And through spirituality, I've learned to operate out of love, and my morals are really backed by something now. You know, when you die, there's this thing called a life review that happens to everyone. As near-death experiences will have this, where when you die after you've gone through, I'll talk about this in another video, but your life beings or entities will literally show you your life in like a panorama view, and it'll almost feel like you're experiencing it, and you'll experience every moment of your life that you've ever affected anyone, and you'll experience exactly how you've affected that person. This is without fail going to happen. It will happen regardless of who you are and how you die. You'll have a life review, and people have it all the time when they have near-death experiences and they come back with the same stories, and you experience what you did to them. You also fully experience how they felt and how that affected their entire lives with everyone. So, you know, it's going to mess you up if you did some bad things. It won't traumatize you. It won't send you to eternal hell, but you'll experience it. And then after that, your consciousness will be transformed and ascended to such a high level now that you understand how your actions affect people in this realm and stuff. But, yeah, it's going to be an experience. So, I don't know. While you're here, treat people right, man, because you're going to experience what you did to them. And this is not like treat them right so you can have a pleasant time during your life review. Why would you want to give anyone an unpleasant experience? This path to spirituality has actually backed my morals with some real tangible things. I now understand that love conquers all and we should just be good people. I'll explain it in some other videos, but I feel like a lot of religious beliefs give you good morals for sure, but it's backed by fear that you will be sent to hell. A lot of believers are just fearful. A lot of believers don't love God. They fear him. They fear hell. A lot of priests, a lot of just believers, and not even believers, I guess, religious folks, just do it out of fear because they don't want to die. But they don't love their God. They're not obsessed with him. They're not consistently learning about him and going deep into it. And I know this because if you're going to base your entire eternity off of a book, you should probably know every little detail about it, front to back, back to front, you know? But 99% of believers or religious folks aren't like this. They're just living life, which is cool, awesome. But you know something's missing when your entire reality you're basing off of a book that you have barely read 10% of. Like most Christians have barely read 10% of the Bible or any other religion, I believe. So you know that there's something innately missing, but when something really clicks with you, you can't help but have a healthy obsession with it. I wouldn't even call it an obsession, but just a connection with it that, yeah, you understand it. You may not be all knowing about it, but a proper, firm understanding that backs your morals and it expresses itself through the way you live, you know? This is what the spiritual path has done for me, and it's just backed my morals with, like, real stuff. And, yeah, I think everyone should do this, honestly. I mean, I respect other beliefs and stuff, and to each their own, for sure. And, my dad once told me that these, you know, there is God, and we're all worshiping the same God. You could call it Jesus, you could call it, you know, man with the beard in the sky judging you, for sure. You could call it Shiva, you could call it Buddha, you could call it consciousness, you could call it source, you could call it the universe. Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, it's all just a way to connect to the divine. It's just some of these ways have been skewed to such an extent that it's hard for us to feel that connection because something is innately wrong and we know it because we are part of it. And so when we're being lied to about our very nature, it tends to bring a disconnect. And instead of pursuing it, because we're so distracted, we avoid it. So yeah, I understand that all the religions and all these are just systems in place to connect to that thing that has been the reason for our existence. So to each their own. Spirituality won't work for everyone. Christianity won't work for everyone. But I'm urging you to seek it. It could be through spirituality. It could be through religion. I'm not even condemning religion. I'm now aware of the downsides, the heavy downsides. And I want to make you aware so you can make your own decision. By all means, be religious if you must. It's solid. It's good. And we need a bit of, we need some system like that to keep society running for sure. But seek divinity because it's there. And once you really connect it in a way that resonates with you, your life will change instantly. It'll be crazy. And I urge y'all, my people, my generation, to do this. There's a lot of, like, hidden power within us, man. There's so much about us that we've just been asleep to. Take it from me. Like, if you're watching this, you probably went to school with me, or you probably hung out with me at some point in time. I was never like this. But look at me making a whole 2 to 3 hour long video podcast thing about this one topic. It is... like change my life for the good. I get goosebumps when I talk about these things because just I relay. I get memories of the experiences that I've had through these dreams, through meditations, these epiphanies and realizations in life. And that one time I left my body accidentally. It's crazy stuff. And then listening to everyone else have similar experiences, my grandpa and people that I know and care about, and you know, it's insane, man. So yeah. Life can get better. Life doesn't have to be happening to you. You can take control, take the keyboard, take the controller, and bend and manipulate this virtual reality to your willing once you just understand the workings behind it. And if not, if you don't want all that, if you don't want to tap into the hidden power that lies within all of us, this immense, just godlike being that is us, then just seek God in any way, shape, or form. Just seek it. And once you're connected to that which transcends all humanly concepts, you start to have a higher purpose. I think this is why Arab nations thrive so much, and I admire this about them. It's because they're really strict with God. You know, we can tell these days, like, stuff like Christianity is kind of falling apart in a mass macro scale. We got, like, gay pastors and stuff, which I had got nothing wrong with them, the homo people, but it's condemned in the Bible, in the biblical sense. So, you know, it kind of goes against the religion in itself and just things like that, you know. But, like, when it comes to Arab countries, they're really strong and foundational with their beliefs. And it's just powerful because you can see how they can't be bought with money, most Arab people. You can see how even in like, Gaza right now, with all this going on and the bombings and stuff, these guys still have... celebrate Ramadan. They still sit together and pray and go to mosque despite their city being in ruins. If it was the US or other countries, we'd be absolutely tripping, looting each other, killing each other, raping, murder, all that stuff. But these guys are praying in the midst of being bombed in ruins, post-apocalyptic war-torn countries, and they're praying. And that's amazing. They keep their culture. They just keep going. And this is because of religion. So there's lots of good in it too. And you know, just, and it's because they believe in God. I mean, screw the rules, screw the logistics and stuff. Just the belief in a higher power means these guys transcend humanly concepts. Like, you can't buy them with money, you can't buy them with sex, you can't buy them with whatever. There's always something above everything, and that gives them a higher purpose. It gives them a reason to still be good to one another, despite there being no reason for you to treat your neighbor well when it's a war-torn country and you're probably going to die tomorrow. There's no reason for you to treat someone fairly, but here you are treating someone fairly because you're religious. So there's benefits to that as well. Just find God, man. Find God, and if not, if you want to go deeper, hit me up, and we can talk about spirituality. I've also felt a bit of... a huge longing to, like, interact with people who share similar beliefs with me. Like, I think this is how pastors and priests feel. Not like I'm comparing myself to that, but you know how these pastors and priests are, like, super in tune with religion, and they will talk about it all day, every day, about God and Nini, because this has really resonated with them. It really works for them. Like, it can work for people, for sure. I feel like that now. And I'd imagine pastors like to be around other pastors or believers. So I'd like to be around other people who are spiritual and stuff. And so if this stuff has interested you, or if you've been interested in this stuff, hit me up, man. I'd like to have the trippiest conversations with you. And who knows, maybe we can hang out in the astral realm sometimes and do some crazy shit, mess with people's dreams. You can totally do that, by the way. It's crazy. But yeah, this has been your boy, Night with Freddy. I drank this coffee and now it makes me want to take a fat dump. So that's what I'm going to do. Peace. Oh, yeah. I'll keep making more videos about this stuff. They will not be nearly as long as this. Maybe 20 minutes at most. I'll just rant and, you know, sometimes I have crazy experiences every now and then. I'll talk about those and spread the word. And hopefully it changes one person's life like it has for me. This has been Night with Freddy, and I'm signing out. Peace.